This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to a new edition of Showtime with Coop, Insightful BS, with my Laker teammates and NBA legends. And as you can tell, we don't have a guest today because
no legend.
We are going to pay, you know, we're going to pay homage to the Hall of Fame. And the reason I say that, because unfortunately or fortunately, fucking got in.
Coop.
First, Nick, I'm laying in the bed and I knew the call was coming that day. And at 9:08, never forget this, 9:08. I get a call, and it's Jerry Colangelo, and he's saying they're talking. And, you know, I had heard that talk two other times before. And they go, you know, Coop, you're a Hall of Famer, but you didn't get in this time. And finally, I just kind of, like, went numb, you know, because they were talking, but I couldn't really hear what they were talking. My wife was sitting next to me, and they said, Coop, you got in. So I'm sitting there. And I'm just kind of like looking, and I'm saying, okay, I'm waiting for them to say, you didn't get in. And my wife said, babe, you got in. I said, what? She said, they said you got in. And Nick, I let out this yell, man.
Did you?
That was like, pretty loud, but no, it was a scream, you know. And then when I got my senses back, I go, is this April Fool's joke? And they were kind of like, no, Coop, you got in. Congratulations. And I said to myself, you know, this is a very, I don't know what I was listening to or thinking about, but I was like, you know, this is very, very cruel because everybody wants to get into the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
Coming with that joke on April Fool's, but you know what? It turned out to be true. I was last Monday. Here we are this Monday, April the 9th, I believe we're in today. And this was April the 1st. And Nick, it was like a whirlwind. I mean, once they said that, then I get all these phone calls about what you got to do. Final Four is in Phoenix. I catch a plane on Wednesday or Thursday. I'm in Phoenix. And then everything just starts happening. So it's been a real, real wonderful, chaotic, enjoyable, hectic 72 hours. But you know what, Nick? I am so, so happy. You know, I never, as a young man growing up here, and you know my story from beginning to end, never thought that my footsteps would be at the door and I would actually be knocking. And it's official, but it's not official. Be knocking and that door open and they said, hey, Coop, come on in. And with the greatest players that's ever played this basketball game, guys I grew up, Walt Bellamy, Connie Hawkins, John Havlicek, players of that magnitude for me, just to name those few. And here I am going to be immortalized with the best. I am really, really grateful. I feel very, very blessed. And I'm going to let you talk, Nick, but I'm just trying to get my feelings out right now. You know, when you get there, they start talking about, Coop, you got to get your speech. And, you know, so now I've been going through my speech, Nick. And you know what? I started going through it when I was in Phoenix and started crying. You know, tears is coming out of my eyes because, you know, I have so many people to thank, so many people that supported me. Very few that hated on me. I got to admit that. I didn't have a lot of people hating on me, but and if they hated on me, it was only because of my size. I was skinny. You know, when you're a young kid, hey, I'm going to the NBA. Could you too thin to go to the NBA? What are you talking about? But a lot of people supporting me and a lot of people loving on me. And it is just, it's going to be heartfelt when I get the opportunity to say what I'm going to say. You know, you want to thank everybody in the world. And they said, Coop, you got to keep it limited. So I had said my speech is going to be 2.5 to 3 minutes long. That same day, I'm sitting in the room getting ready to go to the ring sizing and the jacket fitting. And well, first of all, on the flight there, I land and I'm in the car. James Worthy calls me.
Right.
Ooh, congratulations. Boy, I told you, going, you know, he's giving me all these things. I'm like, James, thank you, thank you, thank you, man. And so when I get there, I'm in the hotel room. Magic calls me. Coop, congratulations, this and that. And now I go to the thing and I get the ringside. They go, well, Coop, who are your presenters?
Yeah, I was going to ask you who, yeah, go ahead.
And I hadn't thought of that. And, you know, the people that, like I said, I've had a lot of wonderful people, but it has to be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, I got an opportunity to choose between four of the greatest. Jerry West, Magic, Kareem, or James Worthy. And, you know, Jerry's going to be there. Jerry's going in as a contributor. The things he's done, he's in there three times. So looking at that, I'm on a, you know what? I'm going to keep it a secret here. And we'll do that the next time. I'm not going to tell you who.
Hey there, sports fans. This is Nick Gelso coming to you from our East Boston studios. Now, if you're anything like me, you're missing the gridiron right now as football has winded down. But fear not, because I've got something to keep you and that competitive spirit alive. Let me introduce to you Prize Picks, the ultimate destination for daily fantasy sports. It's not just a game. It's your chance to go head-to-head, battling thousands of players. Just you, your picks, and the thrill of watching your winnings pile up. And folks, the action doesn't stop with football. As tournament season heats up and the race for playoff home court advantage intensifies, basketball takes center stage. And with Prize Picks, you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. That's right, America's number one fantasy sports app is here to make every moment count. With Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with just four correct picks. Whether it's NBA, NHL, or even college basketball, the opportunities are endless. And hey, did I mention you can play in over 30 states across the country? Now let me share a little secret with you. Prize Picks offers injury insurance, ensuring your entries stay live even if one of your players gets sidelined. Talk about peace of mind. Prize Picks gives it to you. And folks, speaking from personal experience, Prize Picks is a game changer. Download the app today. Use my code, our code, CLNS, for the first deposit match up to $100. That's right. They're going to give you up to $100 back if you use the code CLNS. Remember, on Prize Picks, you pick more, you pick less. It's that easy. Until next time, keep those picks coming and let the winning roll.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
That was on my list of questions. First of all, Coop, I couldn't be more happy for you. And I think all the people who are your friends seen it online, like outside of even the basketball world, especially outside of the basketball world, I think you got in for all of us because we've been rooting for that for so long. I don't know if you remember, I was on the last one where you didn't get in and had to give a much different type talk than today. I said on Twitter that you're Larry Bird fans feared you most. And we did. We fucking did. You were 6'6" and skinny, but man, you could stop Larry Legend. I mean, first time I talked to you, like, I'm the fucking bird catcher. Remember? The bird stopper. And, but looking at everything you've done, I mean, just from the standpoint of the five championships with the big three, you and Magic and Kareem, I mean, it's so overdue. And I hope Staples is next, or Bitcoin, whatever it's called now, crypto. But first things first, enjoy this while you can, man. I'll be at the I don't care what I got to pay. I'll be at that induction to cheer you on. And if they do raise your number eventually next season, I'll be there too, Coop. You've become a dear friend of mine. I can't tell you how happy I am for you.
Thank you.
And
thank
how
you.
Overdue this is. I could only think of DJ because he waited so long.
Yeah.
You know, and I think your careers are kind of similar too. You know, defensive, clutch shooters. And now you're in there with everybody. I mean, is this like the ribbon on your career? Like, has this been 20 years of holding your breath for 30 years for this day to come?
You know what, Nick? No, it hasn't been, because I never thought of this. When I retired, it was like, okay, I'm moving on to the next phase. But to go along with those lines you just mentioned, what people don't understand is that this is not the NBA Hall of Fame. This is Basketball Hall of Fame. You know, I'm going in with some coaches, high school, college, both sides, men and women. So I think what they do is they look at the body of work. And if you look at the Hall of Fame and you want to look at it from the NBA side, I think you look at guys who averaging 28 a game, 30 a game, 15 All-Stars, 10 All-Stars, five first-team All-NBAs. And the thing I like about it is that that was the criteria for the NBA, then I don't meet those standards. But this is basketball, and this is what you do. And the good thing about it, and Jerry Colangelo is a great man. Vinny Del Negro is on the board, another one. They look at the whole body of your work. And, you know, couple of years ago, you know, Dennis Rodman got in.
Mm-hmm.
Then Wallace got in, and that there kind of like said, okay, well, if those guys got in, because they weren't known as scorers, those guys were looking at the kind of like the glue players is what people say that I was. And, you know, I just tried to go out there and do whatever I could to make the help the team win. That right there gave me a little sense of security. That's when I kind of started thinking, okay, well, maybe there's a chance. But the Hall of Fame was never on my mind. Again, it's an individual accolade, which I like. And I'm not big on individual accolades, but the Hall of Fame is your body of work. So my 12-year career playing with the Lakers, five championships, five first-team all-defense. Then once I retire, I moved into the WNBA, went over there and won some championships. Out of my 14 years there, went to the finals four times. We won it twice. The development of players.
G League, too. You have G League championship, don't you?
And then that's what I was going to say. After that, the D-League championship, it was a D-League at that time,
D-League.
D-League now, going there. And again, for me, it's all about the development, giving the knowledge to players, men and women and kids, to this game. So when you look at that and you look at the Basketball Hall of Fame, I like to think my resume can be measured up with everybody else's.
Yeah, and it goes to be said, for basketball, your contributions – have been so great, because the WNBA, we did not know if that was going to become what it is becoming. And you were on the forefront of that with titles. The D League, like, it wasn't the G League, it was the D League. You won titles there. And I think, Coop, you're such a charismatic guy, but you're pretty understated when you're in a room full of, I've seen you, like, even with the big three guys, like, you're not obnoxious, in other words. So I think people just cheer for you because you're like one of us, you know, you're a glue guy. I've never been so happy for a Laker in my life. I'm not kidding. Like and I'm getting accused.
You had
of
to throw that jab in there for a Laker. Okay. All right.
Coop, I got to tell you, I am getting jabbed left and right on Twitter, being called a Lakers guy, not a Celtics guy, because of you. And I'm so proud if that's what it means to be your friend, I got to be a Lakers guy. Fuck it. I'll be a Lakers guy.
Hey, listen, Nick, my wife, who just barely starting to know a little bit about the basketball in NBA, she goes like this the other day. She goes, so, babe, who are you thinking about that's going to be one of your presenters? She goes, you know what? Why don't you get Larry Bird?
I have to tell you, the thought crossed my mind. It just wouldn't be appropriate with all the people that you've been impacted. Like, you didn't mention Pat Riley. Pat Riley's in there. He's in the hall. Larry would be.
You almost made me say who I was going to.
I'm trying.
Going back to the Larry Bird statement, I was like, you know what, babe? That would be so ironic. Again, him saying I'm the best he's ever played. I'm saying he's the best I played against. But if Larry were to get up there with me, I don't know. That would be so weird. But no, Larry Bird will not
have
be
you
doing
guys, have you guys ever talked, like you and Larry, like talked?
You know what?
Talked.
We talked when he was the general manager at Indiana Pacers, and we were going there to play with the WNBA. We were going there to play the Fever when they played. We crossed paths twice. And it's always very cordial, you know. Hey, Larry, how you doing? Hey, Coop, how you doing?
That's
how's
it.
Things going? Good, Larry, how you doing? Things good? Yeah, good. And then we'll look at each other and then walk
What
off.
Else to say? Yeah, what else is it? It's like seeing your old friend from grade school or something. But he still gives you props, man. And
I hate myself today that I really enjoy talking to Cedric Cornbread Maxwell.
Yeah,
I hate talking to this guy, but you know what? I love him, and that's the beauty of basketball, and especially in the NBA. Yeah, we have rivalries. You go at each other hard, but you know what? You grow to appreciate, respect, and love that guy. And when it's all over with, in the end, we're all human, and we're all guys from the different neighborhoods, but our neighborhoods are alike. And, you know, I love Cedric. I really do. I enjoy talking to him. I don't like some of the things he say. And if I can put his tongue out of his mouth, I'd pull it out of his mouth. And like he said, if you were on fire, I'd drink my water instead of throwing it.
Funny, when you told me the news, I immediately went to the 30 for 30 again. That's like the second time I've watched it in a month. And I hadn't watched it in 5-8 years, maybe, you know. But, man, I don't have anything else to say, Coop, except I am so happy for you. So happy for you.
You know what? I've heard from people I haven't heard from in like 8, 9, 10 years. Yeah. So, you know, friends and just people that you meet over the years and stuff like that. But it is truly an honor, and it's one that I'm a lavish in. It's not anything that I'm going to tout and stuff like that. But it is appreciative, and it is an honor that I'm very happy to get. To go in there, and I'm not like Michael Cooper, Hall of Famer. That's not anything that I'm gonna put out there, but it is nice to know that, you know, people see you and put you on the pedestal with some of the greats that's ever played this game. With that, Nick, we're gonna move on to our last but not least topic about the Lakers and the Celtics right
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little jealous. But I'm in some admiration of that Celtic team. The fuck guys are good, man.
They're good.
And they win a championship. I'm going to say no, because I think it always implodes on them. Every year they
not always, the last couple
and
years.
It implodes. Yeah. But for some reason, I have a feeling for some reason that it's not going to implode this year. You know, the only other team that I had kind of like they should fear is Milwaukee, but Milwaukee is just struggling right now. But I really believe Doc is going to pull that together, because remember, he came in right in the middle of things, so it's going to take some time. But the Boston Celtics, and the reason I hate it, because we're out here in the West, and we're a play-in team. We're not a playoff team. We're a play-in team.
I know.
So, but we don't won 9 out of our last 11. Yeah, we lost last night to Minnesota, but they're playing well. And
any team with LeBron, you've got to worry about. You know what I'm saying? If he's in the playoffs, he gets in the play, past the play-in game, and I'm sure he will. Everybody's got to worry a little bit. I mean, it's LeBron James,
but
he's still scoring 40.
Unlike the East, the West is so much tougher to get through. The East is just, you know, Cavaliers.
Yes.
The East is cream puff, and that's why I say if Boston blows this will be their last legitimate chance to win a championship
Coop,
in a couple of years.
if the Celtics blow this, they are no longer the Celtics. Like, Celtics fans can no longer call them the Boston Celtics. Like, that dynasty has been gone for 40
years.
You're
giving up on them already.
If they lose, and I've already put that disclaimer out there, like, you know, everybody's now saying, oh, Embiid in the first round, right? If the Celtics lose, even in the NBA Finals, they're no longer the Celtics. They're the main
Red Claws. No. If they get to the Finals, Nick, you still got to give them credit, which they should. You know what? I'm gonna agree with
you. Better.
They should win it all.
But you know where you were wrong.
Look at what look what the Lakers have to go through. Denver.
Oh, I know.
The Clippers. Minnesota. It's Phoenix. Phoenix isn't playing
Oklahoma.
Well. But my fear for the Lakers is that I don't think they can beat those teams in a 7-game series. Yeah, you can beat them on a given night and then you move on to the next team. But when you see a team for 7 games, I just don't think the Lakers have it in them. And that's why I'm a little mad. But I'm going to give them their gravy. The Celtics, I'm going to give them, put a little bit of sauce on their meat. The Celtics are pretty good. And if they win, then they break that tie where we're at 17.
That's right.
And that's the thing that makes me more upset than anything.
The tie made me more upset than anything. The tie itself. Because those 5 in Minneapolis don't count. Even Dr. Buss didn't count them.
You know what? In reality, no, I don't count. I mean, you know, they're still part of the Minneapolis Lakers but I don't count it. But that those championships bring the tie. We, and I'm mad at ourselves because we had opportunities throughout the 80s to whoop their ass, y'all's ass every time, and we just folded.
Should have won in 84.
84. Yeah, 84.
It's really 84.
I'm so upset.
Well, you could have had 7 titles. I mean, how many do you want, Coop? You got to leave some for somebody else, too.
No,
you know, Larry,
no,
you would have had 7.
They could have them after I retire.
Coop, we were wrong about Porzingis.
I like him. He's still soft, but he's soft enough. I mean, he's strong enough. He's strong enough to with that group that he don't have to. They don't have to rely on him a lot. But he's important.
I've not seen a guy happier to be in Boston, maybe since Bill Walton, when you guys passed up on him.
Yeah.
I mean, Porzingis loves it here. I mean, he's hiring my photographers to take pictures of him and his car. Like, he's just involved with the city. He's involved with everything. And on the court, he's just a difference maker. Like, the whole game changes. And the big thing I sense about the Celtics this year is they have an energy about them that I think you only get on really championship-poised squads. Like, 08, you felt it. 08 through 2012, you felt that the Celtics were poised to do that. Kobe teams, when they were good, you knew that they were going to be competitive, and they had that energy about them.
Yeah.
The Celtics this year have that energy. So barring no injuries, you know, knock on wood, you know, and no choking, Jalen and Jason, like, let's do it this year. Let's do it, because I'm hoping, and I don't want to keep putting pressure on the Buss family because I know they listen to me all the friggin' time, but I'm hoping when they hoist up number 21, it's against the Celtics, because I want your announcer to say the 2024 world champion Boston Celtics. What's his name? We got to get him on, by the way. Garrett, what's his name?
Lawrence Tanner is really good.
We got to.
But you know what? I'm gonna veto that. He will not do if it were to happen that
he
way.
He won't do it. He won't.
And I'm not thinking about it, but it's not. But I'm gonna say one last thing, Nick, because I know you're in a hurry. Porzingis. Sometimes players have to move around in this league. It's almost like buying suits. You try different tailors and it looks good. And then you find that one tailor that fits you like you're supposed to. And I think that's what players do in this league. Yeah, he popped around and, you know, but the suit fits. He is a Boston Celtic player. Just think if had they had them earlier. Now, to compare him with someone they just played, what's the kid's name? Haywood? He had the bad break, broke his leg. He was a Boston Celtic player.
And yeah, he played
what
like
happened
a Celtic.
When he went to these other teams. And now I just saw him play the other day.
He's like a shell.
He don't even look the same, man.
No, he's a shell.
And I don't think
it was
a break. It's just that he was a Boston Celtic player. And when things don't work out well and they move on from you, it kind of distorts your career. And I'm pretty
Cedric's a great example.
Yeah,
Cedric Maxwell is a great example. He never recovered really from the trade in 85. I mean, you see it happen all the time. Coop, 2020 class of 2024, Hall of Famer Michael Cooper, baby. That's a good way
there
to close.
There you have it, another edition of Showtime with Coop in the house. I'm not going to put the HOF on it yet, but I soon will. Watch out. Love you, man. Have a great
love
day.
Love you, Coop.
And to our
love
listeners, you, Coop. Hey, it's been real, and I'm enjoying this and soak it up. Thank you, guys.
NBA History Channel is powered by PrizePicks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network.